it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined now by Odyssey Sports Director, all-around good guy, Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, good morning to you, buddy. How you doing today?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Wonderful, pretty Jeff. Good. Wonderful. Steelers, not so much. Was just doing some calculations during the break. We know that they're going to play Drake May, Carson Wentz, probably Joe Flacco, and then Jake Browning these next four games. Is that going to be the elixir that cures this Steelers defense that is 29th in points allowed, 28th in rushing yards allowed, 25th in passing yards allowed, 25th in sacks, and 29th in yards allowed? Jeff, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, defense has been a disaster. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, some injuries have played a part of that. You know, as Tomlin put it after the game, attrition has played a part. But to see, I mean, it's not like they played the Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, they played the Jets and gave up 32. And they played Seattle and gave up 31. Now, seven of those you can take off the defense, but still 24. I mean, Sam looked like a whole different quarterback from week one to week two.
Jeff, how do you
Kenneth
think
Walker goes from 20 yards to 100? I mean, it's unacceptable for what you're paying and the experience you have on that side.
Jeff, how do you think they fix it? Like, what is the fix in your opinion? Like, if you're looking around this defense, is it really hoping that Derek Harmon could be, you know, that big of a splash player that he comes in and fixes this defense? Is it schematics? What are you seeing from your point of view?
Well, I guess the first one would be health. You know, getting Elliott back at some point, getting Porter back in the mix. But, man, they just got to fix some communication, some gap things, with especially the middle linebackers seem to be just out of position from where they need to be. There seems to be – I mean, I understand the frustration, but they're just not clicking. I mean, the answers have to be in-house, and you're spending that kind of money on a defense. You've got to find those answers in-house. And I mean, TJ's got to get pressure. I mean, there's a lot of guys that need to step up defensively. I don't know how you overhaul a unit that you're paying this kind of money to. You just need them to play better and do their responsibilities. The thing that's concerning is it's the stuff from week one that really didn't get corrected much in week two. So what's the faith you have it's going to be different week three in New England?
I don't have much faith. Jeff is joining us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's because it's not just two games. You look over the last 10 games, and the Steelers are giving up, Jeff, 28 points per game. And so you go out and you get Jalen Ramsey, and he's been impactful, but he's also given up some big plays. And Darius Slay gave up a touchdown in week one. TJ Watt doesn't have a sack through two games. Now Alex Highsmith is out, and I realize it's early for this conversation, but it was 10 games before Matt Canada was let go. If this defense is putting up these kind of statistics through 10 games, do you think they would make a change at defensive coordinator, and does that even do anything?
Yeah, I mean, is it possible? Yes, because we did see it with Canada. I don't know how much... I mean, it's not like Mike is absolved himself from the defense.
Right.
So what you're seeing is a lot of what Mike wants to see. Mike's active in the defense. And if he wants to make changes, he can make changes. So you could make a cosmetic move almost in getting rid of the defensive coordinator, but you're not going to bring somebody else in. You're just going to bring somebody who's already there. You'll elevate them into a spot, and Mike will continue to have control of the defense. I mean, I think it's more this. I don't know that it's scheme as much as the players just have to execute. I mean, they need to do what they do. They need to do what they say they need to do, which is be responsible, be in their gaps, not chase plays, and then be physical at the damn line of scrimmage, and not just at the line of scrimmage, but also at the second level, at the linebacker core. Like, get off blocks. They're not getting off blocks. And I don't know much about the New England offensive line, but you know because of their coach that they're going to be physical.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, what do you think they'd do with Caleb Johnson after his mental error?
Man, is that oblique feeling sore? Or, you know, you almost wish it was baseball where you could give him a little time and maybe bring up Trey Sermon.
Yeah.
And give Trey Sermon an opportunity to be a three. But it's not that simple because you only have so many returns. I think at some point you have to put him back in there. You have to see how practice is for me. Don't give up on a third round pick. But, you know, even before that, I mean, he just looks so tentative on the kick returns. I mean, it just doesn't, it's like he doesn't have confidence. He's not bursting into like, that was one thing about Jalen. Like Jalen was an undrafted free agent. If there was a wall there, he'd just put his head down and try to run into it. But you're not seeing that. You're seeing him kind of tiptoe, and there was even some admission that he was running tentative in the preseason, and they were trying to give him something, I think, to build his confidence. And what ended up happening is something that could destroy it.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Aaron Rodgers, after the game, he was critical of some guys, but I thought did so in a professional manner. And I think a lot of Steelers Nation, I think a lot of people nationally are waiting for Rodgers to kind of pop off. But we threw the theory out there yesterday. Maybe Rodgers can be the thing, the guy that holds all this together, Jeff. What was your reaction from his press conference, your takeaway?
Yeah, I think he's probably the most recognized, most respected leader they've had on offense since Ben. And I think when he gets frustrated, they're going to listen more than, you know, shuff off or just not pay attention. He's built a relationship with these guys, and we've seen it over the time of camp where he can joke with them, but even in camp, like he'll get ticked off with guys, or in practice, he'll get ticked off with guys, and guys seem to accept it. I agree with you. I think he kind of bit his tongue. He wasn't going to go Mike Williams early on, and he does realize that some of these guys are young and that it's a different situation and that he's directly in a leadership position. But he will get frustrated, and you saw it in the game at times where, you know, the Calvin thing in the end zone where he was pointing at him. I mean, and I don't think that's a bad thing. People might look at it and go, you know what? Sometimes these guys need tough love, and the tough love comes best from someone you respect, and they do respect him.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, what do you think of DK Metcalf's performances over the first two games as a Pittsburgh Steeler?
First was impactful. I thought this last game is just, I mean, it was a nice combat catch for a touchdown, but a couple of drops. He wasn't getting open. I mean, I guess credit to Seattle as well, but that's the one thing you're watching from up top. And on a few of these times with pressures, it's like Rodgers had nowhere to throw the ball. I mean, no one was open. And I mean, you could put some of that on the receivers as well. I thought the first game he was what you wanted. And the second game, there were just a couple of drops. He wasn't there. Again, maybe credit to Seattle's defense and just the offense just in general wasn't clicking like it was in week one.
Jeff, Sidney Crosby was delivering tickets yesterday. One of my favorite things that the Penguins do. And the light is shining on Sid's hair, and he's got maybe even a few more grays than I do, guys. But he was asked, obviously, about the comments that his agent Pat Brisson had made. What was your takeaway from talking to good old Sidney Crosby, Jeff?
Yeah, I love that Sid is comfortable with the salt and the pepper there. he's just He's comfortable in his skin. Listen, I do think he wants to be here. And he said he didn't tell his agent to put that out there, that he thinks it was his agent kind of feeling for him if a situation went awry where it was just horrible and he knows how hard he works and how he wants to get back to the playoffs. I think Sid understands the situation here and does want to stay here. But I also do believe that somewhere in the back, if they trade Raquel and Rust and this thing is just careening towards 25 wins, I think he would entertain that. But to be clear, I mean, he said he loves it here. He enjoys it. He wants to be a part of this thing. But I still think there are some factors that could crop up in the next couple of months that might alter his thought process. But, I mean, God bless him, man. The guy, he's in great shape. He's ready to go. He wants to do his part, and we'll see how this thing turns out.
Jeff, your thoughts on the backyard brawl. Do you think Pitt figures it out for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, here's a week where you can flush this and try to put it behind you and go right into ACC play. I mean, they missed opportunities. There were so many opportunities. And then at the end, they couldn't make a stop. And credit to West Virginia and Rich Rod. I mean, thought they had a good plan. They played hard. They stayed in it. Dorn, this is another thing that bothered me a little in a couple of – and I forget who it was after – I think it was Lovelace that said after that, you know, they were a little rattled by the environment. Didn't like to hear that. But you could see it. I mean, at times they were a little bothered by where they were, and they got to figure that out because they're going to go to some tough environments in the ACC. It's still in front of them. But credit to West Virginia. I mean, Pitt had chances and West Virginia bowed up when those interceptions happened. Pitt couldn't do anything with it. And I think that's where the game was right there, because even though they got points, you could feel the momentum start to build with those stops, and that Pitt didn't bury them when they had those opportunities.
Do you think Narduzzi should have gone for it on that fourth down? The ultimate hindsight question here, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, defense is, you feel really good about your defense.
And especially to that point, they had given up 14 points.
You weren't running the ball. You really weren't. And that's, I guess if there's one thing about Pitt going forward, Dorn, to your earlier question, is they got to figure out a run game.
Yeah.
And it's got to, whether it's Goff, somebody, and they've got to get that consistent, because when you can't run when you want to, then you can't, we saw that they weren't able to finish games.
Jeff, we appreciate the time. Bunch of good stuff up on 93.7thefan.com. Thank you, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Jeff. Our sports director, Jeff Hathorn.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.